Thank you very much to the worship team. Great to spend time corporately focusing on Jesus. So amazing. So we're going to be just continuing today on a series that we've been doing in the small groups. So if you are a visitor and you're a little bit out of it, I'm sure you're going to catch on. We're really wrapping up the Lectio Divina series, and I really trust that that today's session will kind of just ground things a little bit. I googled sheep with big ears, and that was the image that came up. It's quite amazing. Ross, many years ago, and this is just on the side, I had to smile. I was going through a really rough patch, and Ross sent me the scripture, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." It's a fantastic scripture. But Ross has got a tendency to sometimes predictive text things incorrectly. So the scripture that came through to me was, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord delivers them not of them all," instead of "out of them all." And I was quite despondent, so I went back to Ross and I said, "Are you sure this is the scripture?" He said, no, Dale, you will be delivered out of them all. And the scripture, even when quoted incorrectly, has borne some fruit in my life. So it's amazing. Can we pray before we start? Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you that you are the Lord of conversation. Lord, that you are the God who wants to connect. Lord, your reason for making mankind was to have relationship and intimacy and communion with you. And so, Lord, we thank you that we are able to hear your voice as sheep this morning. And we pray, Lord, that as we just delve into some scriptures, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts and that you will be glorified and that your kingdom will be established in Jesus' name. Amen. So Lectio Divina is really just a method of prayerfully reading scripture. I think some of us have gotten into the habit of reading scripture, as Pete Greig says, for education, for information, for understanding. Yet the purpose of the Word of God is actually to introduce you to the very person of Jesus Christ and to have relationship with him. It's not so much that we need to understand the word to get the rules for surviving and understanding life, but we need to engage the word because the word is in fact Jesus Christ in written form. That's the purpose of it. So Lectio Divina is nothing fancy really. It's just a way to slow down and to take yourself into scripture in perhaps a more intimate and personal way. So the four steps, just by means of just going back on it a little bit, is reading. So we need to read the word prayerfully and reverently because it is the inspired word of God. Secondly, there's a thoughtful consideration or a ruminating on the word. What does the Holy Spirit highlight in the text that you can ruminate on and that you can really just meditate on? What's the third step is prayerfully responding to the text, using the scripture to pray to God. Whatever the scripture prompts you to, I love what Pete Greig said in the last session. Sometimes it's just to say, "Lord, I have no idea what this text means," which happens quite often. But it may be that you are prompted to pray for somebody or to, in fact, respond just to something that the Lord has said to you in text. And then waiting on him is what we're going to focus on today, really the contemplation part of it. And contemplation is perhaps a difficult word, as is meditation. It has some connotations which are perhaps not what the Bible actually wants us to be focusing on. So this week on Wednesday night, if you're part of a small group, we'll be going through the video 5 of the Life Group series. I have to be honest, of the 5 videos, I find this one perhaps to be the more difficult one to grasp. And so perhaps it's good that we're just running through some things this morning. It essentially says that we need to listen to the voice of God in silence. That's it. In actual fact, it requires you to do nothing. yet I've made the note there that this is probably the hardest step, especially for us who are in a charismatic type of background. It's probably the step which we most often skip. So we probably read the word, we may pray, we may meditate a little, yet the one thing which we don't do is we probably don't create a space where we are able to be silent before the Lord. Because silence, to be honest, is pretty rare. I mean, they say silence is golden. It's not often found. And can one say that perhaps this is one of the most important steps? I'm not sure it really is, but I kind of think perhaps that this could be the most important step. If you look at prayer, it's very common to hear that people struggle with their prayer life. People struggle with prayer. There are many books that are written specifically on prayer. In fact, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Teach us how to pray. Read between the lines because we don't know how." So they come to the source of life, the one to in whom they are meant to pray, and they say, "Lord, teach us to pray," because prayer is sometimes something that we struggle with. Prayer is often described as a conversation with God. So why do many people struggle with conversation? And I think the reason sometimes when I've been struggling is people will say, "Well, I'm praying against the ceiling. I'm praying and praying and I'm not getting answers. I'm praying and nothing is happening." And perhaps they see it as a one-way conversation. Perhaps you this morning in your prayer life have to be honest and say that my prayer life is a one-way conversation with God. And in fact, I've put that word in there, oxymoron. An oxymoron, for those of you who don't know, is an apparent contradiction. It's like postal service. You know, there's... doesn't really work. But conversation, if you look at the verb, you'll find that it's made up. If you do music, you'll know that con means with. So with energy or with liveliness. Con means with, and versari means turns. So conversation in its very essence as a word means turning together or in taking turns. That's the whole point of a conversation. A conversation, per definition, cannot be one way. There needs to be a turning. I almost saw as I was reading that there needs to be some form of movement and motion. It's almost as though there is a dance or a play that happens during conversation. Conversation cannot be one directional. Conversation speaks of alternating conversation and communication. When one speaks, the other is silent and listens. Prayer, you know, I've got to think of this. I've put the little pencil up there because in marriage counseling, very often you would find that you'd have this little task where you get a pencil and then the man holds the pencil and he's allowed to talk and the wife may not say anything. And when he is done, he gives the pencil to the wife and then she's allowed to say what's on her heart and then the husband may not say anything. It's kind of this exchange of communication which is the essence of conversation. And we really believe that conversation is what prayer is all about. God wants to speak to you. And I've often thought, the other day I was speaking to Ross and we were speaking on a WhatsApp call. And as I was driving through a notorious dead spot, I couldn't hear Ross anymore. So what do we do when we cannot hear somebody anymore? Even although he was speaking to me profound and deep mysteries, I was not able to hear him, and as such, one presses the off button. Sometimes you dial again. Sometimes you say, you know what, I can't hear you. Perhaps I'll try again later. And do we? Sometimes. This was an interesting quote, and we have a pediatric neurologist in the audience, which makes this quote perhaps... I'm not sure how true, but I think it's such an important quote from Morton Hunt, who says, "Babies who are born deaf make just as many noises as babies who can hear, but sadly their attempts at speech soon trail off when they fail to hear the spoken words of their parents." I'm not looking at Magriet, I don't know. Just as a child learns to speak as parents speak to him, so we learn to speak to God and have conversation with him because he has spoken to and speaks to us. So why have we as a church and as an eldership instituted or gone through this Lectio Divina course, as it were? Really, it is a basic, really a very basic tool to help you improve your intimacy with Jesus and the Father and to help you to hear his voice. That's it. Really, there's nothing more to it. Reading, meditating on the scriptures which are divinely inspired, praying to God, and then with an expectation, listening to his voice. And God desires to speak to us. He really desires to speak to us. You know, I sing every evening to my six-year-old daughter an old hymn which speaks of God walking in the garden, desiring communion with his created humans, Adam and Eve. And he walks in the cool of the day, desiring that intimate space with us. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Why is the sheep able to follow the shepherd? It's because the shepherd calls and the sheep hears his voice. The sheep cannot follow the shepherd unless they hear his voice. He has a rod and a staff, which is sometimes needed as well. It may be needed for us sometimes as well. But essentially, the Bible says that we are able to hear the voice of God. And as we hear them, we are able to follow him effectively. If you're his follower or a sheep, I want to say this morning that you have the ability to hear the voice of God. Constant conversation. This was something that through a little bit of reading and preparation I come across, and it was a bit of a revelation to me. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 says that we need to pray without ceasing. That means never stop praying. Never stop praying. Luke 18 says, "Then he spoke a parable to them," this being Jesus, "that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." It's almost as though prayer needs to become, and communion and conversation with God is not that little 5 minutes in the beginning of the day. It's a constant communication with God throughout the day. Now, let's be honest. Realistically speaking, we cannot be speaking to God all the time. But can we be open and attentive to his voice if we are tuned into God 24/7? It's going to take some practice so that we can hear him in each and every situation. I promise, Tanya, I'll only give 2 quotes from Stephen Curtis Chapman, but here's going to be a third one. Stephen Curtis Chapman says, "Just because we say the words amen, it doesn't mean the conversation needs to end. The conversation is continuing all the time. But sometimes we are not going to be speaking. We need to be hearing the very voice of God so that we can be directed to hear his voice." I spoke to Uncle Steve 2 weeks ago, and he just told the story of how the Lord impressed on his heart to speak to a certain person who was on the street. And if he had not been attentive to the voice of God at that time, he would have missed that opportunity, not so much for him, but for this young lady who he was able to share the gospel with and change the trajectory of her life. Danny tells a story yesterday of in the week she received some Bibles for urban church, not many, about 5 or 6. And as she was driving or walking past someone, she felt an impression of the Lord to give someone a Bible. And she wanted to kind of argue and say, "But Lord, these Bibles are for urban." And then as she walked further, she just felt the Lord speaking to her, "Turn around, that person needs a Bible." And as she went back to him, gave him the Bible, it happened to be that person's birthday. And Danica, when you speak to her, her eyes are just beaming. Why? Because she was able to hear the voice of the Lord to give the biggest gift of all to somebody who needs it. If we are not in tune with the voice of God and him communicating with us, we are certainly missing our purpose and really miss the world is missing out on it. We need to be attentive to the very voice of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Jesus' conversations with the Father, I often find this fascinating, that Jesus prayed for many, many hours at a time. You can go to the Word of God and you would find that Jesus separated himself from the crowd and went off on his own to pray. Now, it doesn't say what Jesus, it often says what Jesus said during those times. But I want to argue that there were many times when Jesus was listening to the voice of the Father. He was in constant communication with the Father. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say, what I should speak. Jesus certainly heard the Father. You know, Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren, and he is our example. So if Jesus hears the Father, we need to be able to hear the Father. In Matthew, this was quite profound for me when I read it, that Jesus, on the night before he was betrayed, or on the night on which he was betrayed, he prays to the Father to let this cup pass from me if it is all possible. So he's praying to God. And we know the story is that Jesus got an answer from the Father because he went through with the most difficult and painful and excruciating death there could be imaginable, because he'd clearly heard from the Father that he needs to go through with this. He was wrestling with the Father in terms of this, and he was able to hear. I recently read a book called The Ancient Paths, which talks about blessing and cursing. And Jesus, when he was baptized by John the Baptist, as he comes out of the water, there's the Spirit of God descends in the form of a dove, or like a dove. And the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." It's that statement which Jesus was able to hear from the Father which propelled him into his ministry. If I'm not mistaken, it's just after then when Jesus goes into the wilderness, full of the Spirit of God and able to withstand the evil one. Did Jesus hear from the Father? He did. And those words which he received from the Father changed not only his life, but it changed my life and it changed your life too. Hearing from the Father is not just for you, it is for the world. And if Jesus heard these words, then we need to as well. Now the question this morning is, do you hear God? And we've got these Christianese. You may have even said it this morning or in the past week, "I believe God said," or "I feel the Lord has spoken." And everyone has used this issue of, you know, has used this phrase, particularly in terms of big decisions. But when asked independently, most people will say that they struggle to hear the voice of God, or that they would like or need to hear God's voice more. Yet we sometimes throw out these phrases that "I heard the Lord say." The question is, do we really? And I have to admit that sometimes when I say that thing that I believe the Lord says, I haven't taken the time to become still and to physically listen to God, to do it. And sometimes I have to admit that I haven't even taken the time to pray to God about the situation. Let's be honest about this. It's like the little prayer emoticon on WhatsApp. Don't send it unless you pray. And you have prayed, you know. Are we really making an effort to hear God? Hearing God is essential in the life of a believer. Just as I made that statement, I had a look at Revelation 3 verse 20, which is such a famous scripture, which talks about hearing the voice of God. He says, "Behold," that's Ross's voice word for 23, "Behold, see, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. He knocks. Wie se deurklokkie se batterye werk nie meer nie. Haven't you been at someone's home and you press the doorbell and they say, oh no, it doesn't work, and you stand outside? Thankfully, we have cell phones. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. I love this scripture. As I was going to my final medicine exam in internal medicine, this scripture came up to me. Call to me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Love it. So walking into my internal medicine exam, I was like, Lord, you're going to show me mighty things that I do not know. And that was 22 years ago. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 33. God says he will answer you. So essentially, contemplation is the whole process of listening, becoming quiet and listening to the voice of the Father. Is this easy to do? Have a look at that next slide. Perhaps some of the older folk don't get that, but so sorry for you, but our minds are overfilled with so many things. And every now and again, a thought pops into your mind, which is probably inappropriate, sometimes more so, sometimes less. Especially if you get a visual with this one, then it's perhaps less important. And we struggle to focus on the Lord because there are so many things that are taking over our minds on a daily basis. Focusing on the Lord and being quiet has got nothing to do with emptying your mind. And I've put in a Lego movie quote there. This is just to lighten things up a bit. You'll remember in the Lego movie, they go into the mind of the main character, Emmett. And the prophet kind of guy says that, don't worry, your mind is so prodigiously empty that there's nothing here to clear away in the first place. So some of us are perhaps like that, though we don't have much thoughts. Ladies, perhaps you're thinking of your husbands, that nothing box that they're in. Believe me, there's a lot going on outside of the nothing box. But focusing on God and listening attentively to his voice is not about emptying your mind as somebody in an Eastern religion or a meditation practice in that point of view is. Focusing on God has everything to do with saying, Lord, here I am at your feet. I am your humble servant. Speak to me. I am listening. Much in the same way that Eli would have said so when Samuel would have heard so when God was speaking to him when he was staying with Eli. So how can we focus in silence on God when we have a world that is so busy and is capturing our attention all the time? And, you know, this is, as a worship leader, this is something which just I thought is so profound. We have all done this very effectively within a church service environment. You'll know that we sing songs. Most powerfully, when we sing songs, it's the most powerful when we are singing scripture. Singing scripture is the most powerful and the most effective. In fact, it's probably the only things that we should be singing in church is singing scripture. Psalm 46, those are the ones which we need to be singing. Sometimes the Spirit, especially, that's what's powerful within a charismatic type of environment where there isn't a fixed way of singing. The Holy Spirit will impress on our hearts that there is a phrase which needs to be repeated. That's nothing more than thoughtful consideration and meditating on Scripture. It just happens to be with a bit of music to make it less weird. You'll find then that often the worship leader, and David did it as well, there would be a place of spontaneous worship where we will sing a new song to the Lord. And that is often, if you were to listen to your words, is prayer towards God. It happens to be with music. But it essentially is that prayerful response to what you have been singing and meditating on. And then quite often when the worship is really sweet, let's call it that, there's that place where the whole congregation just feels, wow, we must just remain silent in the presence of God. And it's in that space very often where the Lord can speak to us. God can speak to you in any way. Let's be honest, there are many, many weird ways of how the Lord speaks to us in Scripture. There are examples of burning bushes. There are examples of donkeys and angels and all other manners, prophetic dreams. God will speak to you through other people. So there are many ways in which God will speak to you. He'll speak through you directly through His Word. What this is speaking of is going into that quiet place and saying, Lord, I need to hear Your voice. This is a special place which is created through preparation to help me focus on Him, to get the Shakira, Shakira out of my head, where I can be still and quiet, just enjoying the very presence of my Father. It's where I'm able to listen to Him intimately. Guys, this is not weird. It is what God desires is to speak to us. These moments are what I call the sweet moments in worship. And to be honest, those are the moments that we yearn for. Because in the same way that my children want to be with me as their father, you've got a desire to spend time with your heavenly Father. And believe me, your Father has a desire to spend time with you. This is where communion happens. This is that intimate place. It's the intimacy. It's likened to the intimacy of a man and a woman in marriage. It's the place of tabernacle where you can really have an intimate time. But you've got to make the space. James 4 verse 8 says, if we draw near to God, He will draw near to you. And that scripture has obviously got many, many applications and ways that we can interpret it. But if we are drawing near to God in scripture, if we're drawing near to Him in prayer, it's that place where God draws near to us and we can expect to hear from Him. When He does, the word that I put there was, it is magnificent. There's probably very little things that compare to that sweet space when you are able to sit at the feet of the King. I've actually never understood the scripture until I was preparing the sermon, Psalm 84, where David says, for better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather sit there than anywhere else. And are we creating those spaces in our worship and in our day? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Again, a scripture that can have many, many applications in our lives. God is good. So in order to help us to silence ourselves and to become more focused on the Lord, you'll see that worship and engaging in the Bible, we are essentially doing the same thing. All that you're doing is you're just not doing it once a week when you come to a Sunday service or in your small group. But when you read the Word, when you're engaging with the Bible, you're considering it, you're praying it, and you are silenced, it's actually what we have been doing in church in a worship sense. And some of you have been also doing it in your quiet times for many years. We've just given it a little bit of a name, and it's easier to remember. So don't get freaked out by the Latin name by any means. All right, here's Stephen Curtis Chapman, number two. Speechless. He wrote a song and a whole album on this. Words fall, my words fall like drops of rain. My lips are like clouds. I say so many things trying to figure you out. But as mercy opens my eyes, my words are stolen away. With this breathtaking view of your grace. And I'm speechless. I'm astonished and amazed. You have saved me. You've raised me from the grave. And I'm speechless in your presence now. I'm astounded as I consider how you have shown us a love that leaves us speechless. It's that place where you can come to, we can just say, Lord, wow. Ek het nie woorde nie. The two key scriptures for this morning actually are 1 Kings 19 verse 12, which Ross alluded to before, where Elijah has essentially fleed. He's just witnessed probably one of the biggest miracles, fire coming down from heaven, burning up the altar and everything around it. Even the water was burnt up, and he runs away in fear. And the Lord says to him that I am in the still small voice. There's a reason why God says that. Because his voice is a still small voice. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. It's not just being still or just being. Don't be fooled by that. It's be still and know that I am God. There's a revelation which needs to come in the quietness. It's not just about being still and silent. It's about a revelation that needs to come in the quietness. Know that He is God. I will be exalted among the nations because of that revelation that you have received, and I will be exalted in the earth. We need to create silent spaces and to actively listen to Him. And I want to really encourage you to use the Bible as your foundation. For those of you who watched the video in the small group series, the gentleman who spoke on prayer said something which stuck with me. He said, the Bible is your boundaries for when you become contemplative or when you become silent. Don't allow your mind to go to other places. When you are silent, meditate on the Word. It's a safe space. It's a safe space to be. Get to know God's words in the Bible. Get to know His character. Do not neglect the reading of the Word. If you struggle with it, come to Bible school. Get as much Word into you as possible so that when God speaks to you, you're able to recognize Him and you're able to recognize His voice. How do I know if it's God? His sheep know His voice. But there's a way of understanding, is this God, is it not? Because it will be in keeping with the Word of God. And if you've been there, you'll know how to recognize it. I had an interesting event that happened in the past week. When I was at primary school in Stellenbosch, we had a little youth group at the St. Paul's Church in Stellenbosch. Those of you who know it, there towards the McDonald's side, the Pick and Pay, there's St. Paul's on the corner. And we had a youth group ministering to us as I was 11 years old, 10, 11 years old at the time. So that's like 35 years ago. And during this week, actually over the last couple of months, I've been wanting to hook up with the youth group leader who sacrificed so much time to spend on a Friday night with a bunch of young people from the local primary school. And I Googled him, trying to find him, couldn't find him. And for many weeks, I've been trying to find this chap. And this week, I found him. I went through a local church in Port Elizabeth and got his number from, he's a pastor now in Port Elizabeth, working in the inner city. And I sent him a note just to say, I want to thank you for the impartation and for the blessing that you gave me at a very pivotal time in my life. And Kenny phoned me back, or at least he sent me a voice note. And Kenny was hoarser than I am, even then. 35 years later, I remember the sweetness of his voice. Why? Because I know Kenny's voice. I've heard it before. If you want to know the voice of God, you've got to know the Word. It is the very spoken Word of God. Now, I've spoken too much, and my screen has logged me off. Give me a second. Recognize Him in His voice and discern His voice amongst all the others. Remember, there are so many voices that are speaking to you. You need to know the voice of God amidst the chaos. The voice of truth casting crowns. Guys, I've got to listen to this. Go and Google the song. I won't sing it for you. But really in the chorus says, and the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. So there are many people writing about this very thing. If we are familiar with his voice in the inner room, we will be very easily, or it'll be more easy to discern the voice of God in everyday life when the chaos is coming. Maybe you can discern God's voice on a Sunday morning when you're in your quiet time, but if you're hearing it more and spending more time in the Word, you're definitely going to have that place where you can hear it so that you can impact people around you. I love the scripture last time. Ross really hit the nail on the head with Daniel chapter 9 and 10. If you missed that sermon, please go and have a look at it. I think it was last Sunday's sermon, Daniel chapter 9 and 10. Just after, so Daniel reads the prophecy in Jeremiah about the end of exile, and he realizes that that time is now. We are going to be released from captivity. And after that, you'll find that Daniel, and I'm not actually sure, I think chronologically this may actually have happened before then, I think, but I may be wrong. Daniel was mourning his captivity in Babylon, and he mourned for 3 weeks. He ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched his lips, and he used no lotions. He used no lotions. Guys, Daniel used lotions, please. It's not unmanly to use a night cream, okay? Die skirwe hakke, you can treat them. All right, the lotions, more talk about oil as such, but I like the NIV translation, so I put it in there. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the river Tigris. Now, let's be honest. Most of us, when we are standing in a public space, like the queue at the Department of Home Affairs, we are on our devices. And it may be somebody in that queue actually needs to receive a voice from the Lord. It may be important just to put away our phones and create a silent space to say, Lord, I'm in this for 7 hours. Would you use me for your glory? Is there somebody that you want me to speak to? I think about our kettle at work, which is an old kettle and takes 4 minutes to boil. But somebody is in the kitchen with you, yet everybody is on their devices. Are we creating the space to hear God's word in that specific time and perhaps just bring some encouragement? So here we have Daniel, and he's standing at the bank of the river Tigris. He's mourning. He's feeling a bit sorry for himself in a specific sense. And you'll see that when he was saying this to me, so he receives a vision, he bowed with his face towards the ground and was speechless. There's a place where Daniel's lament was heard by the Lord. In fact, the Lord says that he did hear him. Again, it says later that the angel who appears to him says, "Do not be afraid, you are highly esteemed. Peace, be strong now, be strong." So there's a place where Daniel actually had to silence himself, become speechless, so that the Lord could speak to him. Daniel had to become silent and listen. And, you know, I've put this in here. These aren't, you know, this is, I think it's presumptuous to say what the Lord says without him have written it in Scripture. But I wonder sometimes if there are people, you know those people who speak incessantly at small group? It's kind of like, I just need to get a word in. Are you done yet? Because I've got something to say. I wonder if sometimes the Lord says, I want to speak to you. Are you done yet? I want to speak into your spirit. Now, once he has spoken, this is for me quite pivotal. Because hearing God is not only for the warm, fuzzy feeling inside. It's not about having an awesome time of worship while you are here at church, and that silent space or the worship or reading your Bible is so awesome. It's not only for the warm, fuzzy feeling or that feeling that it's that too, because God is the great comforter, and His Holy Spirit is called the comforter for a reason. So you are going to get your tank filled in those spaces when you spend time at the feet of Jesus. But there should be a change within you when you encounter the living God. In fact, there will be a change within you. It doesn't always push you towards an action. Maybe it's just a voice which affirms you, which says, Dale, you are my beloved son because you are in Christ Jesus, and I am so pleased. Maybe it's just a word of encouragement. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for I am the Lord and I am with you even until the end of the age. It may be an action that you need to do something in the week, or maybe there's an impression on your heart that you need to go and speak to somebody and bring them a word of encouragement. Maybe it's something that you need to stop doing or do. It could be anything. God is, sometimes he will just allow you to rest in that space. Maybe that's what you need. But the word of God is powerful. The word says that it goes out and accomplishes that which it was sent out to do. In another place in the Bible, it says that the word of God never returns void. There's an action. There's movement. And at some of us, we need to just say that, you know, I am that person who will do that for you, Lord. But it's not about doing as much as it was about listening and being obedient. A lamp brings light for a purpose. Psalm 119 says that your word, O Lord, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. And just as I read that, I realized that sometimes I use the lamp to look at my nice tackies. Wow, I've got fantastic shoes. Yeah? Or I use the lamp to light up the path because it's a beautiful garden path. And that's all I do about it. Are we taking a step of obedience once the Lord has spoken to us through his word, through the silence, maybe through somebody else, maybe through a donkey? Are we actually taking that step down the path using our feet? Feet which are beautiful. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. There's a verb. Who proclaim peace, who bring tidings, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. You'll see that the feet are beautiful because they are actually doing something. Let's be honest, feet on their own. This is for free. When I was a young doctor, you guys know the ABCs of resuscitation, airway, breathing, circulation, you know? It's different now, circulation, airway, breathing, CAB, but you don't have to remember that. But I had a doctor friend who always used to call it, in those days it was ABC, but he would call it FABC because the feet were so stinky, we'd first put plastic bags on the feet so that we wouldn't have stinky feet, and then we'd resus the patient. That's a joke, people. That's a joke. It is true. Probably inappropriate, but it's true. But beautiful feet are the feet that are doing something in response to the word of God. It's essential to hear God's word for the road that you should take in response to his word. It doesn't help that we are hearers of the word, but we are not doers of the word. That intimate place that you have found in Christ Jesus, as wonderful as it is something that prompts you to some form of movement within your life or within the lives of those around you. Your path is unique, this is important, and may be completely different to someone else's. So we may read a scripture in small group, but there's something that you need to perform or do or not do for the season. And you need to find that from the Lord. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should indeed walk in them. What are the good works that you need to be walking in? What has God spoken to you and you have not heard as yet, which is prompting you to move forward in Christ? Are we following just the generic path, or are we attentively listening to his word, written and spoken, to fulfill our specific God-given purpose for his glory? You know, I just wonder if Danica did not give that Bible to this man yesterday or in the week, what would have happened? You know what? You are called for a purpose. You have a unique role to play within the kingdom, each and every one of us. Are we listening what that purpose is? When I was growing up in the Presbyterian church, we used to sing this song, "The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock." I'm sure you guys all know it. This did not become a Stephen Curtis Chapman hit, but a great Sunday school song, but it misses the scripture. And I'm sure you guys all know it, that the wise man is wise. Why? Because he hears the sayings of Christ and he does them. That's the wise man. So it doesn't help that we are all spiritual and hearing the voice of God, but we are doing and we are not moved within our spirit to actually action those things in our lives. The wise man who builds his house upon a rock is the one who listens and does. And I'm very challenged by that. So as we end off, you'll see that in our small groups this week, you'll hear there's a little to-do thing which says, what do you hear from the Lord that you can take into the week? Be very careful, and I have to speak this for myself, for giving just the religiously correct answer, because that's quite easy to do. So if there is a scripture which comes up, don't give the religiously correct answer and then not do it because it's too hard for you or it's not what you're meant to be doing. Meditate on the scripture. Pray to God and say, Lord, this is a big scripture. What do I do with this? What do I do with this? For those of you who perhaps don't know, but today is Stand Sunday or Pure Religion Sunday. So it's something which is many churches just highlight a specific plight. And if we read from James 1:27, there's a verse which says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. So that's a scripture which is out of the Word of God. And we can meditate on that scripture over and over. We can pray it to God and say, Lord, there are so many orphans in this country of ours. And then you can remain quiet and say, Lord, what would you have me do with this scripture? The religious answer may be, I must go out and adopt. Or I need to, this afternoon, I must contact an orphanage and go and visit. Listen attentively to what the Lord wants you to do with that scripture in your life. It may just be that he wants you to intercede. It may be that if you have the financial means to support a family who has chosen to adopt, that you do that. It may be that the Lord wants to work in your heart in terms of your heart towards widows and orphans. Who knows what the Lord wants to do in your life with that scripture? The word is powerful and it's living and is able to cut to that very place in your innermost being, right where your emotions and your feelings are, between the marrow and the bone, as a einaplek die. Right there, the Lord wants to speak to you. And I really hope and pray that as we engage the Word of God, that we will not just read it for the point of education, but that we will encounter the living God. I want us to spend perhaps just 3 minutes listening to a song. And I think it would be great for us just to reflect a little on this scripture from 1 James 27, which says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Listen to the song, which is really just an encouragement to be still and to know that He is God. Good scripture song. It's going to be about 3 minutes, and that's pretty much a meditation where you can use the song to meditate on that scripture. I want us then, if you feel comfortable to do that, just to turn to the person next to you and pray that scripture, and then just to remain still and say, Lord, what is it that you would have me do with this? And then I'll end off for us. So let's close our eyes. There will be some visuals, but the song is the more important, and let's just focus on the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we can be still before you. As we are reminded, Lord God, that there are so many who do not have families, Lord God, the widows and the orphans in our country, Lord God. Won't you move us, Lord God, in our hearts as we just spend some time in silence now? How should we respond, Lord, to your word? What would you have us do? Speak to us now, Lord. We are your sheep and we hear your voice. Let's just spend a few minutes in silence.